From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Accelerate. He's coming down to the 16th pole in front. Thunder Snow on the inside is next. Then Mendelssohn, Gunavera, and Yoshida on the far outside. They're coming to the wire. And Accelerate wins the Breeders' Cup Classic for John Sadler.
Wondergood Odds in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate. Ahead by a century and a second. But there's no doubt who's the best today. And it's all about Wonder Godot, Wonder Woman herself, demolishing them in the Queen's Plate.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And they bump there. Game winner on the outside takes the lead. On the inside, it's Nick Gold, who fights on but will be second best. As they come down to the line, he doesn't know how to lose. He's game winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. They come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for the traveling Mike Penna. I'm up at the Big A at Aqueduct in South Ozone Park, New York, down in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios is the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. He is sitting in his usual Saturday morning spot. He's alongside our producer, Lee Della Pina. A quiet week on the road to the Kentucky Derby. No points available. It will be the only time in the next 2 months, the next seven consecutive weekends, there will be those precious Derby points available. And most of the races now, 50 points or higher to the winner. If you want to prep now, just about assure yourself a start in that Derby starting gate on Saturday, May 4th. What's happening, Jude?
Oh, it's a little bit rainy here in the Bluegrass, but it's okay. It's a little bit warm. It's probably 50-ish, and we're ready for a big show. We got a lot of guests today.
Lots going on today. Yeah, lots going on. The sun is trying to fight its way through some haze here in the Big Apple as we can't believe we're through February already. Last weekend of February. The year is flying by, and yeah, it looks like we're supposed to get that rain you're getting tonight into tomorrow morning, much to my chagrin, as the rental gets pointed south at about 3:45 tomorrow morning, and we make our way down to sunny South Florida. Hopefully it's sunny in South Florida. But yeah, not a bad day here today, getting ready for the horses to, oh, there they go. Horses coming back on the racetrack here at the Big A. 7 weeks, the next 7 weeks, Pontiff. A little quiet this week. We only had 10 stakes on the weekend stakes preview. Last night presented by Naira Betts. Head over after this. Take a listen to that in podcast form. Only 10 stakes, just a 1 3-year-old race tomorrow on the dirt anyway, that Mind That Bird Derby at Sunland Park. But yeah, a little quiet time, but then the next 7 weeks, Derby points on the line.
Yeah, next weekend is going to be a fantastic racing weekend, and especially where you're going to be at Gulfstream Park. I believe there's 9 stakes on the docket that day, and you're going to have Derby horses and turf horses, and hopefully the weather cooperates, and we have a nice week down there, and you're going to have some fun.
Whenever somebody uses the word 9 as far as like counting, I think of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. 9 times. 9 times? 9 times, Mr. Rooney. Yeah, that card next weekend looks great. We'll give you the Blood Horse News update later on. We'll talk a little bit about that that Fountain of Youth field that's coming together very nicely. Very, very nicely. Some big names, some names you're not familiar with, and we'll touch on some of them throughout this show today. Like Jude alluded to earlier, action-packed Equine Forum this morning. Our presenting sponsor is Red Brand Fence, and my main man from Red Brand, Mark Otto, going to join us to kick off the show in just about 6 or 7 minutes. Jared Burdeen, I'm going to go with Burdeen. We'll see if I'm right or wrong. I'm embarrassed to say I did not know Jared's name, how to pronounce his last name. But he is the general manager of Hillendale Farm. I know that. And Jared's going to join us to talk about their amazing stallion roster a little later on today. Eric Hamelback, the CEO of the National HPPA, will join us this morning to talk about the National HBPA Convention. It's March 12th through the 16th down in Clearwater Beach, Florida at the Sheraton Sand Key Resort. That's the first hour, and that would be a fantastic show right there, Jude, but we got another great second hour lined up. At the top of the second hour, Romero Mirage, who was involved in a very scary spill a few weeks ago at Gulfstream Park. He's on the mend, he's on the road to recovery, and he is going to join us to talk about the spill, his road to recovery, and that great Mirage resolve. It's unfortunate. We've had to see it already with Rajiv, his cousin, a couple of times, and now Romero's on the same path back to the saddle. Dean Reeves is going to join us. Dean actually has one pointing to that Fountain of Youth next week. He's a part of the Connections That Own Tax, who's already got some derby points under his belt. Dean will talk to us. And Chris Griffin, the Sam Houston racetrack announcer, will join us to talk about their Saturday stakes as well. Well, you know, when you read through it, you're not lying. This is an action-packed program this morning.
Yeah, we've got one guest after another, so we've got to hit those breaks.
You got to hit those. Hey, listen, nobody wants to hear us talk for 2 hours anyway. It's better that we have. What have they had to endure this week? 10 hours. Well, 9 hours and 45 minutes. I cut out early on Thursday by 15 minutes.
Yeah, but...
So they've already had 9 hours and 45 minutes of tons of fun this week.
Yeah, yeah, that's more fun than anybody can stand in. And last night, my throat was so raw. I went home. I walked in the house. I put my briefcase down, and I walked into the kitchen and poured myself a gigantic bourbon on the rocks.
Nice.
Went and sat on the couch and talked to the dog for a minute.
I poured myself a wonderful portion of pepper steak last night at Orchid.
Oh, nice.
In Garden City. That was my elixir. Yeah, I had some was out with some friends for a couple of birthdays, so. And that was a good Friday night. But we're ready to roll on this Saturday morning. We'll take our first break. And when we come back, my man Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence is going to join us. Speaking of Red Brand Fence, you're listening to the Equine Forum on HRN, presented by Red Brand Fence. They're manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-mesh horse fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Adina Spring Stallion, point of entry.
As they come down to the finish, point of entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths.
A 5-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes point of entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since theatrical to win the New York Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
It is point of entry in front. Treasure Beach can't stay with him. Kindergarten Kid comes down the inside from third, and they're coming down to the finish. And point of entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
Now, with winners in 8 countries on all surfaces, up to 10 furlongs, including the sensational multi-graded stakes winner, Analyze It, in his first crop, and stakes winner and Grade 1 placed My Gal Betty from his second crop, the heir to Dynaformer, and the next global sire is Point of Entry. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine. Equine.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind, absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Hall Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And they're into the stretch, and it is not that Brady off the turn in front. Our Brain Trust bearing down, taxes in tight toward the inside, trying to squeeze on through here. Coming to the final 16th, Our Brain Trust, Not That Brady, and Tex on the inside. The three of them across the track. Tex on the inside. Our Brain Trust, Not That Brady, fights on between those two. These three coming down to the line and the winners, and Tex does it. Tex by a head on the wire. Not That Brady was second, Our Brain Trust was third, and Sir Winston was fourth.
John Imreal. Made a little winter stop here at the Big A, gracing us with his presence. Actually, that's Larry Comas. I'm sorry. John Brial's here every day. Lawrence Comas graced us with his presence.
Wow.
Normally you'd hear Johnny I. That's or
not,
me.
That's not good for you.
Big A. No.
That was a faux pas. Nope. You're going to regret the rest of your life.
No shot Larry's listening this morning.
Yeah, probably
Larry's still
not.
Asleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Larry's still asleep.
Show business types. They get up late, right?
Exactly. Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Larry Comas on the call of the Withers. Tax, one of his own, is Dean Reeves. Going to join us a little later on. He's got Tax. He's got one pointed to the Fountain Youth next weekend as well. And, of course, a big hand down in Georgia trying to get horse racing back. We got some news for that for you a little later on as well. Getting a little steam. Down in the Peach State, Jude.
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it. I want to be the publicity director at the new racetrack.
You know what they're going to need at the racetrack?
What are they going to need?
They're going to need fence.
Oh, that's right.
They're going to need a lot of fence.
A lot of fence. Keep all our next guest racing participants in.
Keep the horses in. Keep the horses safe. Keep the racing participants safe when they get beat a photo. My man Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence on the horn with us now. Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. How about
Doing
you?
Good. What's going on?
Doing well. Appreciate you guys having me. Excited.
Mark,
about
the pleasure's all ours.
Got Fountain of Youth next week.
Yep. We'll hang out a little bit in Florida next week. I'm looking forward to that. Always a good time hanging out with Mr. Otto. I can tell you that. New year. What's going on? We haven't really spoke much this year. What's new and exciting over at Red Brand?
No, it's been busy. We were actually acquired by a large global organization called Liberty GFG. It's one of the largest steel companies in the world. And it's going to be good for Red Brand because it's going to allow Chris Armstrong and myself to continue to grow it, expand it, build the brand, and you're actually going to see Red Brand a lot more places around the globe. We plan to expand manufacturing and expand distribution even further than we go today. So we're really excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, when you see it in action, when I was down in Kentucky for the Breeders' Cup, you go around to all the horse farms and, well, passing Darley, yeah, that's us, passing... went to Claiborne. That's us. And Claiborne, of course, has been the mainstay for the VMASH and the non-climb for years, right? How long is it, Dan? Well, you were telling me this when I saw you down Breeders' Cup time. 125 years it's been down there?
1889. they started manufacturing fence outside of Peoria, Illinois, and it's still there today. And the interesting thing about it is it isn't just a brand that's been passed around. It's actually the same manufacturing since 1889.
That's crazy, huh?
So it's really the that's unbelievable, right? Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Pardon?
That's amazing. I mean, you go to Churchill Downs and you see all the Derby winners dating back to the 1800s, but you don't think about fence lasting that long, right? That's
no,
fantastic.
And it's, you know, the other thing that's kind of amazing is how much it's expanded, especially in the last few years. It seems like the awareness of it is so much more than it was even when I first started. And it really has come down to a point where it's just better for the horse, and it's better for the farm. You know, it's more cost effective over the life of the fence. It's safer, keeps things out as well as keeps things in. Easier to repair if it's damaged, you know, over a board fence. So we're seeing a lot of farms that in the past had not used it, you know, due to either aesthetics or tradition, are starting to use it in places you wouldn't expect. So it's really been exciting. It's been fun. We've been really honored to be partners with some of the, you know, what I consider some of the biggest names in the industry. I mean, you know, Bob Baffert, Graydon Van Dyke, Gary Stevens, Claiborne, Ashford, Judmont, Hillendale, you name it. And I know I'm leaving people out, but the Red Brand team has grown so much. Big A, HRN. I mean, I really feel like we are very fortunate and blessed to have the people that we do.
Well, it's just such an amazing product. And the first time I came to Kentucky to live, I was spending a lot of time at different farms, and I really got to appreciate how good it is and what it does as far as keeping the horses safe. And then when you look at the difference in cost between, you know, a four-board fence and putting in the Red Brand, I mean, it just makes sense all the way around. It's a no-brainer, really.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, even Bob Baffert said, you know, when we first started working with Bob, he made the comment, he said, you know, I don't know why everybody doesn't use this. You know, so it's, and I know Michael Blowen has said the same thing, you know, more and more of the fence that Old Friends is becoming, you know, Red Brand. And, you know, we're really big supporters of aftercare. We support the TAA, and Old Friends is obviously kind of actually where we really kind of got our foot in the door in recent years. And Michael Blowen has been beyond gracious to us, and we've tried to be, you know, good partners with them. So it's really been a good fit with aftercare. It's been a good fit with our investors, and I think that these people have kind of helped build the awareness, you know, for what we always knew, but it's really become more obvious in recent years, the cost effectiveness, the safety, and the ease of repair. You know, a lot of the people on the farm, the guys that actually use it, are the ones that tell me, you know, once it's up, I mean, you know, if a tree falls on it, if a batwing mower catches it and tears it up, it's easier to repair, and a lot of times you can reuse it. You can kind of straighten it up and reattach it, and you're good to go again. So there's a lot of benefits to it. And we've found in recent years that people are even putting it behind four-board fence so that they don't have to change the look of their farm, but it still provides that protection if a horse runs into it. So even though it may flex and break the boards, the animal won't go through, so it's not going to cut them all up.
Yeah, very important.
It's an amazing product. And, you know, Jude, you brought up a good point. Mark, when you think about this, right, the company's 130 years old. That fence has been at Claiborne for 130 years almost. And just to sit back and think about the number of champions and winners and top class horses it's protected over that time, just at Claiborne alone. And then you think about all the other farms that use it. The Kentucky Derby is only 15 years older than Red Brand Fence.
Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, the V-Mesh came along later. You know, they started out with cattle fence, and then it came in later as a V-mesh. It was actually manufactured from before the turn of the century, DMS was manufactured, but it was really never sold for horses. It was actually used as a predator fence, and it was only about 36 inches tall. So it was really Bull Hancock in, and it's a little, you know, depending on who you talk to, late 50s, early 60s, when he started using it. And he was really the guy that brought it to Kentucky. And then he partnered with Jack Lally, who owned Summer Place Farm. Jack at the time owned a steel company, and Jack later purchased the machines that we own today. And then when Jack wanted to retire, we bought the machines from Jack. And I was blessed to be able to spend a day with Jack Lally, which is probably one of the neatest things I've got to do in my career, other than hanging out with Big A. But he was a really, really cool guy and just a really, really interesting guy. And he was the guy that told me the history on the fence, because it was really him and Bull that kind of put the thing together, and it was really Bull more than him that developed the idea of using it for horses. So you really have to credit Bull Hancock, we do, with bringing V-mesh to the equine industry. And much like a lot of other things that Bull did, you know, breeding and, you know, bringing stallions in from Europe.
I mean, yeah.
He was ahead of the curve, so to speak, in some ways. And I know there was a interview at one time where they were interviewing him, and this is back when the fence was really unknown. And the reporter asked him, he said, you know, you use this strange fence that nobody else uses. He said, do you really think it's better? And Bull said, well, we're standing in the middle of millions of dollars worth of stallions, and I'm paraphrasing. But the part I'm not paraphrasing is he said, if there was something better, don't you think we'd be using it? So Bull absolutely believed in it. And to this day, Claiborne still uses it. And we're really fortunate. I mean, everybody from, you know, Sheikh Mohammed's farms, Godolphin, to, you know, like, as you said, Darley, Shadwell, I mean, Ashford, you know, Justify lives behind it. American Feral lives behind it. I mean, it's an amazing product, and we're really, really fortunate to be part of the industry. And we try to be good partners with the industry. We really try to support it. One of the things that I really push is that as a company, I don't want us to be one of those companies that shows up a week before Derby and a week before Breeders' Cup. We're here year-round. I live in Lexington. You know, we're part of this industry. We're at events. You know, as I put it, we're there on Tuesday, not just on Saturday.
Yeah,
so we really try to be partners with the industry. And part of what we do, and that's one of the things we're working on right now, we're actually reverse engineering new V-mesh machines and trying to actually make the product better. So we're trying to improve the product, you know, make it more cost effective, you know, so we're constantly trying to outdo ourselves. And, you know, we're putting those investments into the company literally as we speak. We literally have a team of engineers working. They actually are taking the machine and working it backwards to see what improvements we can make in the process. And we hope to have that ready later this spring, and then hopefully, you know, expand internationally using those designs later this year.
I remember, I'm going to talk about Mark Otto from Red Brand Friends. I remember being hosting breakfast at Belmont one morning last spring, and I'll be doing that again this spring. And I had one of my Red Brand shirts on, and Hall of Famer Shook McGahee, who's trained, I mean, hundreds of horses, maybe thousands of horses for Claiborne over the years, he came over and asked me what the company was, and I said, you know, it's a fence company. He goes, and he knew it as Claiborne Fence. And I said to myself, well, yeah, you know what? If you are so, if you're that tightly tied to Claiborne Farm, you must have been doing something right for the last 60, 70 years. So, it's known as Claiborne Fence.
To it as Claiborne Fence.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's amazing.
We don't have any problem with it at all.
I was going
to
say.
You know, we really feel honored to be part of that. And, you know, as with all the farms, I mean, not just Claiborne. I mean, it's really kind of humbling when you think about all the people that use it, all the places. It's it is at around the world and the horses it protects. And, you know, to me, it makes us feel good that people have that confidence in us, and we work daily to live up to that.
Well, it's,
so we don't take it for granted, and we definitely don't rest on it.
You do a great job. We appreciate all of your support here at HRN. I personally appreciate all your support as one of the spokespeople for Red Brand Fence. I'm proud to put the colors on. I have many colors, too. I have some fuchsia. I have light blue. I have a lot of Red Brand shirts that are making their way to South Florida. Mark and Red Brand will once again be
Florida with you. Fountain of Youth is next
looking
weekend.
Forward to seeing you.
Immediately following that, and I know he's coming on this morning, too, we're also sponsoring the HBPA convention in Tampa. So we'll be seeing everybody there as well.
Yeah, I saw you were on the agenda. sponsoring a panel.
I mean, we really try to be part of the industry, you know, all the way around, not just in one spot.
Yeah, I liked what you said about working on Tuesdays. I mean, there's a lot of companies that, you're right, they just come in for the biggest events and then you never see them again. You guys are around all the time. You're hitting everything from EquestriaCon to sponsoring our shows to you know, the big events too, Breeders' Cup and all of that stuff. You're everywhere, so that's a feather in your cap.
I appreciate that, because that's really our goal. You know, we want to be everywhere, we want to be good partners, and we don't want to just do we don't look at it like what's in it for us. You know, one of the things I learned from Michael Blowen early on was, you know, the best programs benefit everybody. So one of the things we try to do, and you mentioned EquestriaCon, that was a good example, we really try to do things that is beyond just Red Brand. So like, if you notice at EquestriaCon, our booth was actually the TAA booth. We actually, you know, provided the booth for TAA to help them have a presence at the show. So we really try to be good partners and support, and we just look at it like, you know, if you're part of it and, you know, you're genuine and you really – and it helps us as a company too, because I constantly am on farms and talking to people and at events to where I can listen to people and try and, you know, figure out where we go next. What are the needs? What are the, you know, products that we can be working on that'll help us in the future?
Well, you guys do a great job, Mark. Thank you for everything. Once again, Red Brand will be the title sponsor of my dinner and derby, Kentucky Derby celebration on Wednesday, May 1st at King Umberto's in Elmont, New York, right down the road from Belmont Park. Mark was the title sponsor with Red Brand last year. They will be so again this year. HRN is a sponsor as well, among others. Mark, we thank you for everything. I look forward to seeing you next week.
Yeah, we're excited. Look forward to it.
All right, Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence. Ordinarily, you'd hear the Lexus Legends of the Turf now, but we have an action-packed show. But you'll still hear from the Godfather, and we'll have the Lexus Legends of the Turf again next week. Right now, we'll take a break. When we come back, Stallion Spotlight, presented by Red Brand Fence, comes your way. This week, it's Jared from Hillendale Farm. This is the Equine Forum on HRN.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Now standing at Buck Pond Farm. Bet on Red! Wildcat Red!
Wildcat Red! runs away to an impressive score in the Hutchison.
After winning the Grade 3 Hutchison, Wildcat Red goes on to win the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth in near record time. Faster than Pulpit, faster than Thunder Gulch, and faster than 49er. Multiple graded stakes winner and Grade 1 performing millionaire, Wildcat Red. Also standing at Buck Pond, V.E. Day. After winning three in a row at Belmont and Saratoga, V.E. Day wins the Grade 1 Traverse in one of the most exciting finishes in history with a speed rating of 112.
But here comes V.E. Day with a final try. Who will win the Traverse? It will be Too Close to Call!
Major League Belmont and Saratoga talent, V.E. Day. For more information, contact Buck Pond Farm at www.buckpond.com.
We saw his brilliant speed with a 116 buyer in just his third career start.
Cross traffic, three quarters, eye-popping 108 and 4.
We witnessed the sheer brilliance in the Grade 1 Whitney.
And cross traffic will take his place among the top handicap horses in the country.
Now, we're watching a star sire in the making.
Jaywalk is a Breeders' Cup champ.
One of the most accomplished freshman sires in recent history. Champion freshman sire, Cross Traffic, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
And they're off.
Experience the thrill of pulse-pounding thoroughbred racing at the Maryland Jockey Club. The Maryland Jockey Club is fun for the whole family. Watch world-class racing live or follow coast-to-coast sports on massive LED screens in our newly redesigned sports bar. Don't miss a minute of the action. Join us for live thoroughbred racing Thursday through Sunday. You'll be glad you did. Post time 12:30 p.m. and always free admission at the Maryland Jockey Club.
Alter Nation was the co-second leading second crop Kentucky sire with five black type stakes winners, nine black type horses, and well over $2.5 million in earnings. Alter Nation counted Grade 3 Super Derby winner Limation and Gulfstream Stakes winner Alter Moon as tops from his first crop of runners. Already this year, Alter Nation has the brilliant filly Serengeti Empress, easy winner of the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra Stakes at the Fairgrounds. By Distorted Humor, millionaire, graded stakes winner, Alter Nation, stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Stallion Spotlight, presented by Red Brand Fence.
What a memorable Breeders' Cup Classic. It's a race for the ages. Bayern, Toast of New York, California Chrome. Bayern, Toast of New York. Bayern has won it.
Good Magic's going to win his first race, and he's going to do it in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Curl on the outside. Curl is courageous. Straight and trying to hold. Final finish. It could go to Curlin. Curlin, I think, out of Bayern nose.
And what a magnificent back-to-back winner of the sprint. Midnight Luke could not have been more impressive. He wins with his ears pricked in the end.
Flincher got through on the inside, and there he goes. As Money Multiplier moves up on the outside into second, Twilight Eclipse is third, as Flincher just strides away. Oh, what a racehorse.
Welcome back to Equine Forum. Here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for all of racing's biggest events, including the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown on the Big A, filling in for the Baron. And Jude joins us as well. Nice enough now to be joined by the general manager of Hillendale Farms, Jared Burdine. That's some roster you have down there, Jared. That Stallion Spotlight intro, as this is the Stallion Spotlight. It's pretty exciting, yeah, presented by Red Brand Fence. How are you this morning?
Just great. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, doing well. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think when people think of Hillendale, the first thing they think of is Curlin, but wow. That roster, when I was looking over that roster this morning, you guys have some serious horse flesh down in Kentucky.
Yeah, whenever anybody asks me to pick my favorite, it's hard to do. I can rattle off all kinds of stuff, but we could spend hours today talking about the whole gamut. They all have something special going on. Obviously, the two pillars, Kitten's Joy and Curlin. Kitten's Joy, the leading sire last year. I know, general sire and turf sire.
you got another one that's coming on very strong right now is Violence. He's been sensational.
Yeah, he is producing incredible racehorses that are jaw-dropping in all different places and spread out wide. Almost all of them look beautiful and are fast.
You know, his start, Jared, and I think this is probably no bigger compliment, especially in recent years. Violence's start really reminds me of that of Uncle Moe's, because they kind of do everything, right? They go long, they go short, they turf, they dirt. Even the ones that are on the towards the bottom of the lap, they all win. They win wherever you run them, really.
Yeah, that's one of the important things there, and it's kind of one of the things we kind of saw with Curl in there too. Whenever we bid on the horseback and the sheriff's sale, they were winning. You just looked at the results, and then wherever they were placed, they were winning. And so, same with Quinteros there too. They just win.
I was going to bring him up too. Yeah, it's a very eclectic roster. Quinteros started his career out in Florida. How do you guys go about that? Do you go and pursue, do you go outside the box and pursue maybe horses in other states and say, you know what, this horse is on fire down in Florida or up in New York? And do you guys go out there and pursue these horses and think they're, quote unquote, Kentucky worthy?
I wouldn't say pursue anything else like that. We'd like to be able to stand behind everything we have here. We're not going to stand a horse just to stand a horse here, and it starts with John Sakura. You know, he's curated this whole roster here with his gut feeling and what he feels is going to be a good stand, and we follow suit here. And, every horse on our roster here, I can firmly stand behind it and confident in recommending anybody mating to any of them.
You know, Quinteros, it seems like he has three or four winners every week. I know that's probably an exaggeration, but it doesn't seem like it, because Anthony and I are doing the races on the radio Wednesday through Friday every week, and it seems like Quinteros' name pops up in the results all the time.
Yeah, and even in the same race a lot of times.
Yeah.
I think he's got four runners today in stakes races. Mr. Jordan's running in the Grade 3 Hal Hope. And then Jackson and another one in the Texas Glitter. And there's always action with Quinteros going on every week.
Jackson's carrying a lot of weight today. I like him a lot.
Yeah. Been pretty consistent. Curlin had the trifecta there last weekend in the stakes race with the Global Campaign, or an allowance race, I'm sorry, the allowance prep. It was put together almost like a three-year-old stakes race. There was enough talent in there.
Yeah, that was a very good race, and that horse was impressive. He looks like he could be one of the ones come the first Saturday in May. Another horse that's been attractive to me as far as betting is concerned and watching the horses run is Atreides. He's really come on as a stallion. My brother bought that horse,
yeah,
Sueño.
Sueño.
And he's turned out to be a really good horse.
Yeah. We bred that horse out of the Mare class above. It's a Hill and Dale product there, too. Atreides is a special horse, son of Medaglia d'Oro out of the great race filly Dream Rush. He's a brother to Dreaming of Julia, a host of other stakes winners out of Dream Rush. And he actually had his first three starts had over 100 buyer, 105, 102, and 105, which is unheard of. There's not too many horses that ever started with three straight set-out buyers. He was a phenomenal racehorse. He didn't start till 3, too. So we kind of expect him to kind of roll on. Sueño is one of those types that he keeps closing in all these stakes races, and he just looks like he's going to be one of those kind of wise guy horses that keeps going to relish that mile and a quarter.
Yeah, he keeps getting closer to the winner every time he runs.
Yeah.
One of these days. I mean, he's already won a stakes, but he'll break through one of these days and win one of the big ones, I think.
As long as he keeps picking up those derby points.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, very important. Talking with Jared Bernheim, the general manager over in Hillendale Farm. I'll tell you who I'm really going to be interested in, Jared, when they hit the ground, and we got a couple of years for it, come out running. Army Mule. Very, very short career. You have two of you between four starts, Army Mule and McLean's Music, bowled thousands of people over with their speed and precocity. How many did he cover, or is he covering this year?
Army Mule, he's been very popular. He's been supported heavily by Vinnie Viola and St. Elias and ourselves. You know, we bought significant. John's going to send a bunch of mares to the horse, and we got a good group of shareholders that bought into the horse. He's going to be, you know, 100, 150 around there, in between
he's,
there. Well,
he's something, isn't he?
Yeah, he's going to.
He's easy on the eye, boy.
He's a great looking horse. I'm biased, but I think that the best judge of a racehorse to me is Donato Lani, and he was underbidder, and he talked about that horse on and on. That's kind of why we kind of pursued the horse. He's a beautiful individual, obviously crazy talented. Sensational horse that kind of got to overlook those three starts whenever they show that kind of brilliance, like kind of a once in a lifetime type of brilliance. The car, yeah. No horse has even come close to this. He won his three starts by combined almost like 22 lengths. Whenever Todd got into the starting gate, it was like a foregone conclusion. Nobody's even come close to this horse. And when taking the grade one car,
yeah, I remember the date
114 buyer. That was actually the highest. It's the highest buyer on dirt under a mile last year, all of last year. Better than on all the sprint horses and everything like that. So.
Bargain stud fee, too, 10 grand.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel Chris Fernando had a article in the PDN this week, too, talking about the offshoot sires. Like, if you cover up this, the Frisian Fire, I think, is underrated. You know, he's got Army Mule himself and Cole Paul, and then it's the AP, the Indy Lina. Frisian Fire's out of a deputy minister mayor, and then you got Crafty Prospector on the bottom side, so you got Mr. Prospector on Army Mule's bottom side, so you got AP Indy deputy minister, Mr. Prospector. It's got all the recipe for success.
You know, it's
beautiful, great racehorse, and the pedigree's there in the back. So he's going to suit a lot of
different
mares. You
know, it's a loaded stallion roster. You know it's a loaded stallion roster when you talk to the general manager of a farm for 10 minutes and you've spent about 30 seconds talking about Curlin and Kitten and Joy.
Well, everybody knows about that.
Kitten and Joy, We go for hours.
Curlin, he's always going to be there. He's the old stalwart that they keep pumping. It's actually his first crop of at 100,000 is turning two this year, so... Great things even coming in the future. So, and you got Kitten's Joy leading. So the guy's he's been the leading turf sire for the last 6 years.
Marco
Red Band, he's got to add in Curlin and Kitten's Joy to stick there about talking about all the horses that stand behind the Red Band friend. All of our guys.
Yeah, he will. I'll make sure he does.
We have
two pillars.
Year old this year too. I'm excited about it. As Byron listened to all his classic race call, and that horse, everybody forgets how many races that he won. Not only the classic, but the Haskell, the PA Derby, and his most impressive to me is the Woody Stevens on Belmont Day. There, I was there live. I remember that was the most impressive race all day on that. Great card that Belmont puts together, the Byron's Woody Stevens, man. He was jaw-dropping that day.
Yeah, he's got a really cool pedigree, too. I mean, it's almost antique. You know,
yeah.
you see Wild Again on the top and Thunder Gulch on the bottom, and, you know, it just brings back a lot of memories, especially for an old guy like myself. But
yeah, he's out of the Blue Hen Courtly D there, too, the old King Ranch family on the bottom side there, too. So
Yeah. No, he's a cool horse. He was very fast, and as you say, could go any distance, really. He's very talented.
Yeah, he's won four or five races that most horses hang their hat on. And he won four or five of them. All the two-year-olds I hear rave reviews about how fast they are there, too. So excited about those. And even Secret Circles, he's got first two-year-old this year, too. So
Yeah, a couple of fast Bob Baffert horses. 2-year-old's going to be debuting this year. Jared, keep up the great work down at Hillendale. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you. Thanks,
guys. All right. Our Stallion Spotlight, presented by Red Brand Fence down at Hillendale. Thanks to General Manager Jared Burdine for some time this morning. We'll take a break, come back. Eric Hamelback, the CEO of the National HPPA, will join us in just a few minutes. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Foaling season is underway, and the highly anticipated first foals for Champion Classic Empire are here. Breeders are seriously impressed with the quality, size, and bone he is putting into his progeny. Early foals include a very athletic colt who is out of a half-sister to Champion Merit Beholder, as well as leading sire Into Mischief and Ashford newcomer Mendelssohn, bred by Team Valor International, and a quality first foal out of Sweet Saturday, a half-sister to Exaggerator, bred by China Horse Club International. Hurry and call the team at Coolmore to get your mare booked to Champion Classic Empire before it's too late.
Racing fans, join us for great racing and good times this Saturday at Santa Anita. Our main event is the Grade 2 $200,000 Buena Vista for fillies and mares at a mile on turf, and we'll have one of our most popular events of the year, the annual Santa Anita Chili Cook-Off with chili tastings, craft beers, and more on the grandstand apron. Get your Santa Anita Chili Cook-Off package now at santaanita.com. First post time on Saturday is at 12:25 p.m. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world class setting.
Alter Nation was the Co's second leading second crop Kentucky sire with five black type stakes winners, nine black type horses, and well over $2.5 million in earnings. Alter Nation counted Grade 3 Super Derby winner Limation and Gulfstream stakes winner Alter Moon as tops from his first crop of runners. Already this year, Alter Nation has the brilliant filly Serengeti Empress, easy winner of the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra Stakes at the Fairgrounds by Distorted Humor. Millionaire, graded stakes winner, Alter Nation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Power. Taprit is still there. Masterplan is gaining. Masterplan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Masterplan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home four lengths to the good.
Performance.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud, out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple graded stakes producer, Appealing Zofie. Taprit, standing for $12,500 at Gainsway.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Make plans now to attend the 2019 National HPPA Convention March 12th to the 16th at the Sheraton Sand Key Resort in Clearwater Beach, Florida. Enjoy panels focusing on critical topics, including equine welfare, the future of our industry with fixed odds, and a panel discussion focused on assessing our industry stats into the future. Plus, a Thoroughbred Idea Foundation panel with Craig Burnick, Jack Wolf, and Corey Johnson. Contact HPPA CEO Eric Hamelback or visit nationalhppa.com. for more details.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network and letting us be a part of your Saturday morning. The Big A and the Pontiff. I'm filling in for a traveling Mike Penna. This morning, he'll be back next week. I'll be in sunny South Florida getting ready for the Fountain of Youth next Saturday. We return to the airwaves We do not have an official broadcast time yet, but you can check back at horseracingradio.net. We know we'll be on Sirius XM 93 next Saturday. It'll be myself, Dr. Dan Mason, and South Florida trainer Chuck Simon on the broadcast. So you'll want to tune in Sirius XM 93. Again, check back to the website, horseracingradio.net, for a broadcast time. Back out to the phone lines. And our next guest is the CEO of the National HBPA. Speaking of sunny South Florida, they'll be there for their National HBPA convention March 12th through the 16th. It's at the Sheraton Sand Key Resort in Clearwater Beach, Florida. And nice enough to join us now is the CEO. All right, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
So far, so good. I bet you it's a lot warmer where you are.
Well, once I get there, yeah. No, I mean, at this point, we're in full convention prep mode, trying to get everything ready. And I certainly wish I could have made it into the studio, but I've been proofreading. Although I would admit, after listening to the show this morning, I was right there with Jude. I came home and, but I'll admit to having more than one glass of bourbon before I went to bed talking to my dog. So. It's been a great week of preparation to get everything kind of finalized. I'm really happy with the way the convention agenda came together, and I wish you, Jude, and Big A and Mike could join us. Maybe in 2 years when we get back down to Gulfstream, we can set y'all up.
Yeah, that'd be good. You got a great agenda. Looking at it last night, and it's going to be a lot of fun, very informative and entertaining. You got a great crew of guests.
Thanks, Jude. No, I'm very blessed to have a lot of good friends, in this industry that are high profile people, and I guess lucky that they call me a friend because when I call on them, they're there, and I've really made a mission. In my convention prep and putting them together, all of them in the 3 years, going on 4 years that I've been with National, I just want to make sure people work together and find ways to do things better. And certainly with this year, I made a decision to have a keynote address as a panel instead of a single speaker. And I just thought it was, again, a gift from the gods that the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation was formed. Craig Bernick and I had a good relationship back when we both sat on the TOBA board. Jack Wolf, I've known for quite some time. And, of course, Corey, we're two of many of the Xtronic group folks. So, he and I have been friends forever. And that panel just came together great with what I consider my motto. And, again, finding ways to do things better. And then popping in at the almost last minute, Justin Nicholson, again, just a wonderful young talent in this industry, now being able to moderate that group. I think they're going to have a great message and be able to really address our folks with a positive message and again, looking at things differently. That's what we need to do as an industry. We have got to look at things differently. And not only survive, we have got to thrive.
Well, that's what I love about the agenda for the week and what you're saying here today, Eric. I've said this for a long time, but it's and I don't want to say it's an unfortunate thing, but the game we once knew probably doesn't exist anymore. And
absolutely,
we still have a great game. We need people, like the gentlemen and ladies you mentioned, and guys like you and the younger folks to keep the game going. And you got to change with the times. And I think that's something not only that you guys do, but you promote as well.
Well, thank you, Big A. A perfect example. Is fixed odds, right? So, again, a good friend of mine, Michelle Fisher, graduate of the University of Louisville program, an amazing program. I'll kick in there. But we have got to look at that, regardless of sports wagering. And I know everyone wanted to tie it to sports wagering and the need to move forward. If you look at you know, the model of Australia, which is what Michelle is going to point out. You get an increased handle with fixed odds, period. I mean, it, you know, so we just have to look at and find ways to be able to initiate that into our industry and again, help it thrive, not just survive. And, you know, again, I've talked about this with Mike Penna. I've talked about this at length with Steve Bick. But, again, we need to understand our industry and the stats that we generate and how we're going to use them in the future. We have got to enrich the experience of this, for the handicapper, period. You know, there's two people in this industry that really, really, really matter. That's the owner and that's the bet, period. And if we don't make Boom. Our industry stats available and easily available and readily available, then we're hurting ourselves. So we have an amazing panel there with Wilson Shirley, by far one of the most intelligent people I know when you look at the Interstate Horse Racing Act and how the signals and simulcasting industry works, but also understanding what are owners' rights. Papo Morales, you know, again, a professional handicapper with AmWager. And then Pat Cummings, once again, now the executive director of the Thoroughbred Idea Foundation, but again, extensive experience in the world of handicapping. And then again, throw that in with my moderator, Steve Bick. I mean, that's a panel for the ages. So I hope people are listening and understand that it's all about enriching the experience for the handicapper.
I'll tell you one thing. That fixed odds panel, that's actually the one that we're sponsoring here at HRRN. There's some morning line odds makers that don't want to be responsible for some of them fixed odds. I can tell you that right now. Me and Jude would be rich on the afternoon shows.
No, I understand. That is certainly not a job you'd want me doing. That's for sure.
No, you got Dr. Jen. You got Dr. Jen down there as well. And can we put the we in welfare, Dr. Jen? I see Dr. Jen Durenberger every day here at Aqueduct Belmont in Saratoga. She's the best. That should be a fantastic part of the itinerary as well.
Absolutely. I mean, Dr. Durenberger has, you know, I call her a good friend, but she'd probably smile and just say that I'm constantly calling her for advice. I don't. She is quite possibly one of the most intelligent people I've known and gotten a chance to know in this side of it, because, you know, from the stewards aspect, from the commissioner's aspect, from the equine medical director aspect, you know, she understands the backside of the industry and what it takes in this industry to make things go. And she did this presentation, I believe it was 2 years ago, at the Saratoga Law Conference. And I tell you what, guys, I was touched to the point where, you know, I'm not known as a sentimental guy, but it brings a tear to your eye when you start looking at things in the reverse. And that's kind of the way I say it. We, again, going forward in the industry to make things better, we need to understand how other people look at our industry. And that'll help us change ourselves. That'll help us morph into a better industry and ultimately have a better product. Be better for consumer relations and consumer protection, and ultimately, you know, doing what's best for, and again, something I live by, what's best for the horse.
Well, Dr. Jen is just one of the treasures in our business. I mean, she is, you said how brilliant she was, and she is. I mean, she's not only a veterinarian, but she's also a racing official, and there's nobody that knows the ins and outs of our sport more than she does, and just a fascinating person. And it's great that she's going to be part of this. I mean, like I said, when I opened the agenda and I saw everybody that was going to be there, I go, okay, that's just fantastic. It's a really, really cool bunch of people you've got going down there.
Thank you. Well, you know, and I definitely want to, especially on this program, you know, we get to award each year our claiming National HBPA Claiming Horse of the Year. So for 2018, our industry awards committee got together and selected Percy, a great hard-knocking horse out of Pennsylvania, owned by Busch Racing Stable, trained by Les Stickler. Was an amazing horse, still going, and what was so touched, got a call from Mike Blowen. He at Old Friends was, again, so appreciative that we do this. He has actually offered, when Percy retires, to come back to Old Friends. He wants to showcase the National HBPA Claiming Horse of the Year. And so hopefully when Percy does decide to retire, I know he's still making good money for Busch Racing, so we'll see. But when he gets to be retired, he's going to go to Old Friends. Again, a great friend in Michael Blowen, and just has become a poster child for Thoroughbred Aftercare and what we as an industry have been very successful in establishing.
Eric, thanks for all you do and continue to do. Again, the conference is the convention, National HBPA 2019 Convention, March 12th through the 16th at the Sheraton Sand Key Resort in Clearwater Beach, Florida. For more info, go to nationalhbpa.com. We'll talk to you soon, Eric.
Thanks, guys. Y'all be good and have a great day and keep us happy at the window, brother.
You got it. All right, Eric, like Mark Otto and Jared Burdine, will receive some apparel from EmbraceTheRace.com for being on the program this morning. Embrace your passion over at EmbraceTheRace.com. Hour one in the books. We'll come back in just a few seconds with hour number two. Right now we have to pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's these two, 1-2 down to the finish. Enabled and Magical, and they're well clear of the others. Racing royalty, Enabled and Frankie Dettori. The Arc winner is the Breeders' Cup Turf winner, too.
It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside, tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Monomoy Girl is 16th to go. Blue Prize, Wildcat finishing well on the inside. Then comes Midnight Pizzo. Monomoy Girl has won the distance.
Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Hour two of the Equine Forum underway here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for the traveling Mike Penna. I'm up at Aqueduct in South Ozone Park, New York, high atop the finish line at the Big A. Down in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios is my tag team partner, the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, and our producer, Lee Delapina. Thanks to Mark Otto, Jared Burdine, and Eric Hamelback for hour one. Lots of action to come here in hour number two. We still have Dean Reeves coming up at 9:20. Chris Griffin, the racetrack announcer from Sam Houston Race Park, joins us to talk about their Saturday stakes. But up first here to kick off hour number two is our Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. Stuart Morris offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. And would like to thank their owners, clients, and team. Their success is because of you, with multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy. Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. Visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all major sales. And our Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris this week, is a young man I have grown to know and, well, love, quite frankly. Suffered a terrible spill a few weeks back at Gulfstream Park, but like his cousin before him, he's fighting the good fight. And already on his way back to the saddle. And, of course, it's Romero Mirage, who's down in sunny South Florida. Romero, congratulations on being the Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris, Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. Thanks for some time this morning, bud.
Thank you, Anthony. Thanks for having me. Guys, I really appreciate it.
How we feeling?
Oh, you know what? I've been feeling a lot better since I've left the hospital. Not much back pain. It's just more minor shoulder and ribs pain. But, you know, it's just day by day. That's how I'm taking everything, you know. I'm not trying to do too much or sitting around too much in my house and do too little either, you know.
You know, already went back to Gulfstream Park.
Yeah, you know, what happened, my uncle was running three horses that day, and the day before that, I actually went to go see my surgeon, and he said that I could start leaving the house more, and, you know, I wanted to go back to Gulfstream and just see everybody, because everybody was just, you know, they were all wishing me a speedy recovery, you know, and I was very thankful of that, because my Gulfstream family has always been really, really nice to me, and all the guys in the room they've always been so, so nice to me. Anytime I made any mistakes or if I did anything right, they'd always come and say something to congratulate me or tell me what I did wrong. You know, they're always really good to me.
Yeah, they want to make you better. It's better for them if you're more competent, and you've had a nice run of luck. Really unfortunate that you got in the spill, but that Mirage spirit always seems to come through. I mean, your cousin Rajiv has to be a great inspiration to you as you go through this.
Yeah, of course, he really is. You know, and the day I fell, he was on his way to the track because he was in Florida, so he was coming to watch me ride because, I mean, every race that I ride, Rajiv watches them if he's not riding, because I can text Rajiv after a race and say, you know, Rajiv, you think I did this right, you know, I did this wrong, because ever since I started riding, he's been the main person who's always been day after day on me with certain things, who's been helping me, you know, and I actually look up to him as a cousin and as a rider because of how much he's accomplished. And, you know, after he fell, he accomplished so much after that, you know, it's just really inspiring, the things that he does.
Romero, you've been very approachable and very open about this entire ordeal. We're going on 3 weeks now. You know, I know a lot of guys and gals, when they go down, they don't really remember how it happens. Can you walk us through that race going into the turn?
Well, I just remember kind of breaking out of the gate and my horse being a little rank, and then I got her to relax a little bit in the back stretch, but I kind of remember a little bit in the turn when I figured I didn't have any horse. You know, Paco, he was right next to me, and what I did, I was kind of taken out of there, but I think that, to be honest, that he probably thought I was already out of there watching the replay, because wasn't another step and I'm out of there, but, you know, I really don't remember much that happened. I just remember I just was kind of screaming a little bit to say, you know, I'm here. But, you know, what happens, it's racing. I don't remember anything after that.
Well, you really, you know, I'll tell you what, no one will ever question your lineage. You're Mirage through and through. Yeah. Dropped. The game, it's racing. I was almost out of there. All right, what's next? How do I get better? I wish I had your. I wish I had some Mirage mentality. The only Jamaican I have in me is your mom's pepper steak when she cooks it for Rajiv's birthday. It's the best stuff in the world. The best stuff in the world. So what's the? You know, it looked as bad as it could look. When it first happened, and obviously you suffered some major injuries, but you very quickly got a lot of good news from your doctors.
Yeah, that was the best part about it, was then, well, what happened is that on the 31st day, they told my mom that on the next morning, which is the February 1st, that I would have, had to do emergency surgery, and then all went well. But when I went up for the follow-up 2 weeks later, the doctor was saying everything was healing fast, but he didn't want to really tell me that I could ride again. But, I mean, I'm assuming that I should be able to. He just told me that he didn't want to make any promises that he couldn't keep. But, you know, I'm assuming that I should be able to ride again. And I really want to ride again regardless of the risk that it's probably going to be, because I told my mom this because she was a little bit edgy about me riding again, but she never stopped me from riding. But she said, you know, it'd be a little risky. But I told her the truth, which is that, you know, from the start, a lot worse could have happened when I fell. And it's risky to begin with when you ride, you know, so I don't mind taking a little bit of extra risk when I ride. You know, I'm 18 right now, and I really don't want to lose out on my career. That, you know, and I have a little bit of the bug left.
That's one of the amazing things about jockeys in general and mirages.
Guys worried about having a little bit of the bug left.
how long was it? This is always fascinating to me. How long was it from the time you got hurt to the time that you thought to yourself, God, I wish I could get on a horse this morning?
I don't know, like a week.
A week? It took you a whole week?
Yeah. Because the first week I was unconscious.
Yeah, oh, well, there you go. All right. So the minute you regained consciousness, you said you'd get back on a horse, right?
Yeah, I was unconscious and on a lot of medication.
We talked about this during the week, Anthony and I, on our weekday shows, and it's amazing to me. You know, I had dinner with Rajiv several times when he was injured, and he was in such pain, and he'd get up at the restaurant to go to the men's room, and it would take him, you know, like maybe, 5 minutes to just get to the men's room door. He was in such pain, and then he'd come back and he'd sit down and go, I can't wait to get back in the saddle. This is driving me crazy. And I'm thinking, get back in the saddle. How about just walking around? That would be good. You know, I mean, it's just amazing. What's the feeling? I mean, how come you guys want to get back so quick? What is that inside of you? What's so exciting about riding racehorses that just won't let you do anything else?
To be honest, I don't know, but it's like, kind of, to me, it's like the same thing that was kind of bugging me last year when I didn't start riding. Is that it's like I want to get back in the saddle, especially when I saw that actually I fell on Thursday, and the Sunday after I fell, the horse that I've been riding for Patrick, well, I ride all of his horses, but the main one, A Bit Special, she won a Grade 3, and I was supposed to ride her. And, I mean, watching a lot of those things, it doesn't hurt because, you know, it's life, but I wish it was me, because that would have been my first graded stakes. And then seeing Maximum Security for Jason Service win by 18 lengths the other day, and he's going to run in the slow of the Derby, you know, it makes you want to get back out there, seeing everybody compete, you know, being out there with your friends, too. You know, for us, I mean, the riding, it's not much of a work. It's more of, like, it's something that you love to do. It's like a hobby for us, you know?
Now, you've taken the path, quite frankly, that most jocks don't take. You haven't stopped watching. You're paying as close attention now as you were when you were riding, and you mentioned, you know, it's hard watching these horses win and stuff. Is that with, you know, well, when I come back, I want to know everything exactly that's going on?
Well, I mean, watching all the horses win, you know, it's something that just happens. You know, maybe this, because the week I fell in the last 2 weeks before I finally got injured for the last time, I fell like five horses, fell off of five horses, like in the post parade coming out of the gate. You know, it felt like it was bound for something to happen. So I don't know. I think maybe this is preventing me from something in the future. So I really don't get 100% mad, because I was speaking to my mom, and she said, which is true, it could have been a lot worse. I'm thankful I could walk again and, you know, hopefully ride again. That's, you know, in the end of the day, I'm just really thankful, you know, because looking back at the replay, my mom didn't even watch the replay over, you know, but when I watched back the replay, it was really scary, you know, what could have happened.
Yeah. Your resolve and your attitude towards this, I'll tell you, is a lot better than most people's reactions to this spill, and it happens to you. I wish I had the, like I said, I wish I had your attitude towards things. And your attitude, my friend, can only help you heal and get back in the saddle where you belong. How do you pass some of the time when you're not watching the races and stuff? Does the poker gene that's in the Mirage blood come through in you, or do you do something else?
Good. To be honest, when I'm not watching races, I have a lot of friends and family over, and my girlfriend and my mom, they're always just there with me. I just watch TV, watch the races, and my friends come over and we play video games, and after they go home, because they have to work and go to school the next day, my girlfriend and I, we just go in my room and we watch TV. And the funniest thing is that the first week after I got home, every night we order food because, you know, I'm able to eat now. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'd order like a Philly cheesesteak and clam chowder from a restaurant and they'll deliver it, you know. So I've just been having fun and just taking the good part out of, you know, taking like a mini vacation, you know, because the good part is that my back, it hasn't really been hurting me. It's just been minor pains, like I said earlier.
Well, that's good. And then you mentioned your mom, Junie Mirage, and your girlfriend, Acacia Singh, just been there for you from the start. And I know you're in good hands with those two ladies down there.
Yeah, those two women have done literally everything for me from since we're in the hospital. You know, them telling me stories about how they have to literally rotate to sleep at night to make sure that I was, you know, one would sleep 1 hour, the other would sleep an hour, just so they, you know, monitor me. You know, that's just crazy. I couldn't imagine that, but you know, they're really good women that take care of me. You know, it's just, without them, I don't know what I would really do, because seeing them not being here the first week I was home, especially when I had to wear the brace everywhere. I mean, now I still have to wear the brace, but the first week when I was in a little bit more pain and my body was a little bit more restricted and confined, it was crazy. I can't imagine not having them here, you know, and they don't get mad about anything, you know. I just, sometimes I feel like I'm bugging them, but, you know, they really don't get mad, and they do it, and they help me from the bottom of their heart, you know.
Well, you do have the Mirage charm, that's for sure.
Yeah, and all the having all the family down there has got to help. You mentioned your cousin Rajiv, of course, and your uncle. You guys, you need like a Game of Thrones flowchart for the entire Mirage family in the horse racing industry.
Oh, yeah, 100%. A lot of people lose track of us, but if you're a Mirage, I'm pretty sure we're related.
Romero, keep getting better. I'm going to come down and see you this week. I'll give you a call. We'll figure something out.
For sure. Thank you for having me, guys. Have a good day today.
All right. You too. Keep having good days. Romero Mirage, our industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris. Unbelievable kid, Jude.
Yeah. No, I mean,
can you imagine having that attitude? He's 18 years old, right? I'll make a vacation out of it. I'll eat Philly cheese. I want to eat Philly cheesesteaks all day, too. I mean, but,
yeah. Well, you know,
myself dry, you know, he's 18. Dropped to do it.
He's 18. He, you know, he feels, God he still feels him. Invincible, which is great, you know, and well, he should. So, I know it's a love that can't be explained, the way that jocks feel about riding racehorses, lot of us mere mortals, you know, we don't quite understand it. You know, you see these guys and gals walking around with halos and casts and all this stuff, and that's the only thing they want to talk about is getting back on a horse. You know,
it's insanity.
Yeah, it's insanity, but it's also insanity. It's very cool too that they love what they do so much that they can't wait to get there. So,
yeah. good way to put it. It's a good way to put it. All right, well, we wish Romero continued success and recovery. And I'll report in on him next week. I'll be down in South Florida with him. I'm going to go give him a visit. And thanks to Romero for some time this morning. It's time now for the Bloodhorse News Update. And look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Fountain of Youth hopefuls work in Florida. Bourbon Lane Stable and Lake Star Stables Bourbon War breezed an easy half mile the morning of February 22nd at Gulfstream Park in preparation for a start in the Grade 2. Fountain of Youth Stakes, March 2nd at Gulfstream. The three-year-old son of Tappet covered 4 furlongs and 48-3 under regular exercise rider Juan Oyola in his final tune-up for the mile in a 16th prep race that leads up to the $1 million Grade 1 Florida Derby at Gulfstream March 30th. It went great, just what I was looking for, said trainer Mark Hennig. He's doing very well. I wouldn't change a thing. Judmont Farms Hidden Scroll, a dazzling debut winner January 26th at Gulfstream, also tuned up for a start in the Fountain of Youth on a foggy Friday morning, breezing 5 furlongs in 1:02 at Payson Park in Indian Town, Florida. The son of Hard Spun worked in company, racing outside three-year-old stablemate Tacitus on the backstretch before taking over the turn and drawing clear in the stretch. That wraps up this morning's edition of the Bloodhorse News Update. Don't miss any coverage of three-year-old Derby prep races and other races around the country like only Bloodhorse can bring you. Follow the races and news throughout the day on the popular Bloodhorse Daily app. We'll have an email sent to you once a day. Both are free. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily. And for weekly coverage, including the feature stories on the horses and people in our sport, count on the industry's only weekly publication. That's Bloodhorse Magazine. It's also available for your tablet. You can go up and sign up at subscribe.bloodhorse.com. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Dean Reeves is going to join us to talk about racing possibly in this great state of Georgia and his Kentucky Derby contenders, including Tax. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust Keep Safe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about Keep Safe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Eddie Woods is a perennial leading consigner, having sold multiple Great Stakes winners, including 26 Grade 1 winners and 4 champions.
Big Brown bounding home to a convincing win in the Run for the Roses.
Left Bank has won. Midnight Loop could not have been more impressive.
Spring in the air takes
the Darley Alcibiades.
A passion for hard work that produces big-time results. Find your next winner at the Eddie Woods Consignment. Visit eddiewoods.com.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple Great Estates winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 3/4 length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins a Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip. Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Phillip is represented by exciting stakes-winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is your HRRN Kentucky Derby leaderboard update. With just 10 weeks to go until Kentucky Derby 145, War of Will has skyrocketed to the top position courtesy of this powerful performance in last weekend's Risen Star.
War of Will wows well up again, won the Risen Star from Country House.
Undefeated juvenile champion Game Winner drops to second as he continues to work toward his 3-year-old debut, while Risen Star runner-up Country House sits in third, followed by Nick's Go in fourth, and Kentucky Jockey Club winner Signalman in fifth.
Here's Signalman and Pluskapar Faye to the wire together. Signalman inside, got it!
Sham Stakes victor Gunmetal Gray is sixth, with the Steve Asmussen-trained Long Range Toddy close behind in seventh. Eighth place is held down by rapidly improving Mucho Gusto.
Mucho Gusto, impressive in victory, cruises home by 5 easy lengths.
Ninth is Maximus Mischief, and Tex rounds out the top 10.
Coming down to the line and the winners, and Tex does it!
And that's your Kentucky Derby leaderboard update.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. A little quiet on the Derby trail this weekend, but not the next 7 weekends. Points races available the next 7 weeks, as we inch closer and closer to Kentucky Derby 145 on Saturday, March 4th. I'll spare you the countdown this weekend, Pontiff.
Oh, beautiful. I needed a week off.
I don't have it. Yeah, if you didn't. No preps, no countdown.
Right.
Simple. Very simple, right?
Right.
All right. Well, I'll tell you one person who's probably a little anxious. We know a lot of people, but only one of them's on the line right now. A little anxious for the Kentucky Derby trail to get back cooking and get to that first Saturday in May. You would, too, if you had two horses pointing to the most famous horse race in the world. It's Dean Reeves. And Dean joins us now. Dean, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. Good morning.
Good morning.
You got two that you own, but Mucho Macho Man's got a few himself.
Has he not just set it on fire?
He's unbelievable.
He's really, really doing well. His horses out there on the trail are performing, and you know, I think there are, a lot of them are just going to continue to improve.
Yeah, he's been sensational in his first year as a stallion, and that's got to be super gratifying. I mean, to own a horse like him, have him do what he did, and then have him prove himself in the breeding shed. I mean, that's what racing's all about, really.
Well, it is. I've always had tremendous faith in him. And, you know, I told a lot of folks to a year and two ago to be breeding to him, and I think he's made me look at least halfway smart. But, you know, the credit goes to the horse. He's making the job of selling the breeding to him this year pretty darn easy, because he sure put the numbers up, put nice runners out there. They're winning on turf. They're winning on dirt. It's the fillies. It's the colts. We've been very excited and very pleased with his accomplishments so far.
Yeah, he's been amazing. You got two on the trail. We heard from the rejoin. Larry Comas was on the call. The Withers, Tax. Wow, what a claim, huh?
Did a heck of a job following that. And sometimes, you know, as you say, you got to get lucky. He got the horse in the shake, and he's turned out to be a really nice horse. And he's working this morning in New York, a little maintenance work. We'll point to the wood. And I really like this horse. I mean, he's shown that the distance is there. I mean, he's already had 2 mile-and-an-eighth races that he's performed well in. So we're pretty darn excited. I think this guy can get us to the Derby.
Well, he certainly looks sharp winning, and Danny does such a good job with his horses. I mean, they always are turned out nicely, and he gives a lot of thought to what he does when he trains them. I know sometimes he comes off a little devil may care, but he's really a serious trainer.
Well, he is that. He's very sharp. He watches the game. He works hard. But Danny makes it fun. He's enjoyable to be with. It's got to be fun. And he does a great job of that. But he is a heck of a trainer. He watches a lot of horses, and he did a really nice job spotting this horse. And he's bringing him along really well. I don't think Danny has this horse really dialed in just yet, but he knows there's a lot of big races and ahead of him.
Yeah, you also have Frosted Brace, who will be in a loaded Fountain of Youth next Saturday. He went 4 furlongs and 49 and some change this week for trainer Kathy Rithro. Talk to us a little bit about Frosted Grace.
Yeah, this has been a nice horse that we've got. He's training very, very well. Kathy's very pleased with where he's at. We didn't, we didn't know about the Fountain of Youth, but it's time for us to try 2 turns. This sort of works in the schedule. He's ready to race. It's going to be about as tough a race as you could ask for. But, you know, you've got to get in there and see how you stack up. And I think I'm looking forward to the race, and I think he'll run pretty well.
With all you do in the sport, Dean, of course, campaigning Mucho Macho Man to win that Breeders' Cup Classic. Anything get the blood going like being on the Derby Trail?
Nothing gets the blood going like being on the Derby Trail. It's it just keeps you fired up. It keeps you thinking. It gets you up early in the mornings. It gets you reading all the magazines, listening to all the shows, and you just really get involved and enamored with being on the Derby Trail. And it's a lot of fun. It's really, really what a lot of us get in this sport for is, among other things, but that being on the Derby Trail and getting to that big race is unbelievable.
One of your other passions gathered a little steam this week as far as getting some horse racing in the great state of Georgia.
Yeah, we're getting we did get through committee this past week. It is currently, the bill is in rules, which it'll come out of rules sometime this next week. So for all the listeners that are out there in the state of Georgia, please give your senator a call next week, hopefully Monday, and let them know that you're in favor of bringing the horse racing industry to Georgia. We really need the support. They need to hear from you, those senators, all across the state, because this bill is something that's going to impact every county in the state of Georgia, and we really need some phone calls early next week to the senators to let them know that that you're in favor of bringing horse racing to Georgia.
Well, it's very exciting news because I know you've been working on it for a long time, and and I've been looking forward to becoming the publicity director at the new track. So,
Oh, yeah. We've got that job pointed. You know, Mike wanted that job, but I think you'd be better at it.
I think so, too. I have more experience at it.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, that was so great. I mean, when the tweet came out that it had gotten through a little bit, and I retweeted it right away, and a lot of people hopped on it. I think it's something that we could use. We could use another circuit and some fresh fans. I mean, there's a lot of people that live in that area, and it's a nice place to live, and they could become really important to our business.
Oh, absolutely. It's new territory. We get the opportunity to do everything hopefully right, or what people have learned along the way. The track will be, very sophisticated, a very different type track in terms of maybe patterned after what the Braves did in Cobb County by adding, you know, a multitude of restaurants, hotels, condos, and so forth. I just would love the opportunity, and I hope that the fans that are listening on the show will really get out and help us next week by calling their senators.
Well, I know everything that you do is always first class, and anything that you'd be involved with is going to be first class. So that's what I've been assuring my friends that live in the Atlanta area, you know, to get behind this and let it happen, because it's going to be good for everybody.
Yeah, even in the bill, the minimum spend for the track is $500 million. So you can imagine,
wow,
the kind of dollars that'll be spent, on this facility, and it'll rank right up there with anything anywhere. So it's we've got a shot next week, but it comes down to those votes, and we'll know something hopefully maybe next week or the following week.
Well, best of luck, Dean. All right, Georgians, call your senators. Get this bill rolling. Let's get some thoroughbred action down in the great state of Georgia. Dean, best of luck with the bill. Best of luck on the Triple Crown Trail. Hopefully we'll talk to you sooner rather than later with some exciting news on the trail for you and the two horses you got pointed towards the first Saturday in May.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. And it's always great to be on the show, because, you know, if you're on the show, you're usually doing something right.
Thanks,
exactly,
Dean.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dean.
Thanks, gentlemen.
All right, Dean. You got it. Dean Reeves on the Derby Trail trying to get that bill rolling in Georgia. Good man. Loves the sport of kings, I can tell you that. And maybe down in Georgia. Dean might be down in Georgia, but it's time now for the KTA KTOB Spotlight, Jude.
Yes, it certainly is. And it's one of those things where you probably know a little bit about this. Triple Crown winner and Horse of the Year, Justify. Monomoy Girl, Eclipse Champion 3-year-old filly. Roaring Lion, Cartier Horse of the Year in Europe. What do these elite horses have in common, Big A? They were all bred in Kentucky. And unlike most state bred programs, Kentucky bred group winners are eligible to receive Breeders' Awards worldwide. Since 2006, over $155 million has been distributed to Kentucky breeders for wins across the globe. In 2019, $14.2 million was awarded to Kentucky breeders. Justify awarded his breeder after his Kentucky Derby victory and his Grade 1 victories in New York, California, and Maryland, as did Monomoy Girl for her win in the Kentucky Oaks, as well as Grade 1 scores in New York and Louisiana. And breeders of the European star Roaring Lion received Breeders' Awards for his four Group 1 victories in England and Ireland. Kentucky bred is quality bred, and it pays to breed in Kentucky.
Kentucky bred's equal money, my friend.
Yep.
That's what it does. They equal money.
And I got to say, that's a very unique program because a lot of state bred programs, the minute you leave the state, you don't get anything. And Kentucky lets you get some dough all over the world. So it's a good deal.
Yeah, it absolutely is. They give money all over the world. It's a very unique program, like you said, Jude. All right. Take a break. Come back from Kentucky. We'll head to the great state of the Lone Star State, the great state of Texas. And Chris Griffin, Sam Houston, racetrack announcer, to talk about their Saturday stakes. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Through Sunday until March 30th. Catch top-class graded stakes action and great wagering opportunities every week. And be sure to get your tickets now for the $1 million ExpressBet.com Florida Derby on March 30th. For our full racing schedule and to learn more about upcoming events, visit GulfstreamPark.com.
Mastery retired undefeated, winning his four starts by a combined 20 lengths. A six-figure September sale purchase, he won impressively in his two-year-old debut at Santa Anita. From there, he captured the Grade 3 Bob Hope Stakes and completed his juvenile campaign with a dominant performance in the Grade 1 Los Alamitos Futurity. At 3, the top-rated son of Candy Ride sizzled in the San Felipe, running a 105 buyer and winning by open lengths. Mastery, new for 2018 at Claiborne Farm.
Alter Nation was the co-second leading second crop Kentucky sire with five black type stakes winners, nine black type horses, and well over $2.5 million in earnings. Alter Nation counted Grade 3 Super Derby winner Limation and Gulfstream Stakes winner Alter Moon as tops from his first crop of runners. Already this year, Alter Nation has the brilliant filly Serengeti Empress, easy winner of the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra Stakes at the fairgrounds. By Distorted Humor, millionaire graded stakes winner Alter Nation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From foaling barn to finish line and beyond, you can see it all. Log on to visithorsecountry.com to book your one-of-a-kind experience. With more than 30 horse country locations throughout the Bluegrass, you'll get access to multi-million dollar farms and facilities featuring Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown winners, famous broodmares, and champion sires. Space is limited, so book now at visithorsecountry.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
And hard not to love, good-looking first-time starter will pull away for an authoritative score.
Hard not to love is exactly that after her impressive debut victory at Santa Anita last weekend. The three-year-old daughter of Darley Stallion, Hard Spun, was named a TDN Rising Star following that winning effort and is your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Hard Spun is Dan Zig's last Grade 1 winning son, who sired more first crop winners than any other stallion. Hard Not to Love became Hard Spun's second TDN Rising Star this year, along with three-year-old colt Hidden Scroll, who won by 14 lengths on debut at Gulfstream on January 26th, earning a 104 buyer. Hard Spun is the only stallion with two TDN Rising Stars in 2019. Learn more about Hard Spun and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
They come to the top of the stretch, three quarters, 113.74. And Celebrity's Gift takes them off the turn here. Mighty Ferrari continues to apply pressure, then Pure Gray on the inside. From between horses, here comes Gold Shock. And way on the outside, Cat's Infatuation through the stretch into the finish. Mighty Ferrari, Gold Shock on the outside. Celebrity's Gift fighting hard on the inside. Gold Shock, widest of all. Gold Shock and Yvonne Arellano powering toward the lead, but Celebrity's Gift right there. Too tight to call. Celebrity's Gift, Gold Shock close in the Got Coco division.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence, the Big A, and Pontiff of the Pick Four. I'm filling in for Mike Penna, taking you through a sensational Saturday morning here on the show that launched a network. Final guest of the morning. Man, I feel this is like this has been like the Belmont Stakes of Equine Forums, man. We've went we went fast early with Otto and kept on going. Mark Otto took us to the start. And happy to have Chris Griffin wrap it up with us, the Sam Houston racetrack announcer. Chris, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. We got to fire it up right here for the final stage, huh? The final furlong of the show.
You ready to sprint home? Yeah.
I don't know. After cheesesteak talk, I don't know if I'm ready to sprint home the final quarter.
Oh, you've been listening that long?
Of course. I've been up and at 'em and ready to go. Ready to rock here in Houston, Texas, as always.
That's great.
Isn't that a great outlook to have on life? If we all could look through Romero Mirage's eyes for like a day, a month, this world would be such a better place.
I agree with you. I saw the tweet, and it's to have that type of attitude. I will say the line where he says, "Yeah, I'm ready to get back in the saddle, but the first week I was unconscious." I mean, that was quite the line that he had there. It really kind of explained it. But I'm just glad that he's better, and I know a lot of people in social media have been behind him. And he's just got that great outlook on life, and at 18 to be kind of wise beyond his years, it's really cool to hear.
Yeah, he's a lot like his cousin Rajiv, and I remember the first time I met Rajiv was at Tampa Bay Downs on Tampa Bay Derby Day, and Rajiv was sitting outside, and we were talking, and he said, you know, his biggest goal in life was to win the Red Stripe Derby, and that's the race in Jamaica, and I said, I've actually been to Caymanas Park, and he didn't believe me at first, but I described it well enough that he knew I had been there, and then later on, you know, I was lucky enough to be there when he won the Wood on Wicked Strong, and I got to him after the race, and I said, is this a little bit better than the Red Stripe Derby? He said, well, it's a lot more money. I said, yeah. But they've never lost that. They are just still the same way they've always been, the Mirage family, and it's really cool. I mean, it's unbelievably cool.
And there's lots of those stories. There's just so many great stories at the racetrack and so many great people, and that's where our sport is headed, and sometimes we have our setbacks, but you get back up, you saddle up, and you put press on, and I think that's a good attitude for him to have and a lot of people in the industry to have, really, whether it be a track announcer, a trainer, a jockey, whoever.
Yeah, you got to be able to land on your feet, right? I mean, because this sport will knock you down a lot of times, but you got to be able to get up and dust yourself off and go right back at it. So,
exactly. No question about it.
Nice Saturday card down at Sam Houston this evening. Jim's Orbit and the two Altazano. I don't remember Jim's Orbit. I remember two Altazano, though. How's the gig down at Sam Houston going?
Yeah, it's been quite the experience, you know. For me, it's been kind of a whirlwind trip for the last 5 years, and to be in this spot, to be at SHRP, and it's our 25th anniversary season, and it's been a real nice experience, and everyone's just so nice in Houston, Texas, and around the track, and we've had a lot of good racing days, and we had a lot of luck as far as getting our turf racing in. That luck ended last night because we did get some weather in the area, so we were off the grass, but we're back on as of now. It's a little muggy this morning, but we've got 9 races on tonight's card, and we do have a couple stakes races and some promising maybe 3-year-olds that are probably looking for bigger races down the road, but they get 6 furlongs apiece here in the Jim's Orbit and the 2 Altazano, like you said. And there's going to be a couple heavy favorites in there, but maybe one that could be a little more vulnerable than the other one, I think.
Yeah, and the Jim Zorbit, Mr. Moneybags, named after the president of the Horse Racing Radio Network, Mike Penna. He is he's taking the blinkers off tonight. He got beat just a length of three quarters in his lone stake try, a big drama. He's 4-5 on the morning line tonight, and he is. You mentioned maybe looking for bigger game down the road, Chris. He has that Triple Crown nomination on his PPs.
Yeah, and they're quoted as trainer Mike Netherland's quoted as saying that they're pointing to the Sunland Derby as the next spot, depending on how he does okay. in this race. You know, with the rail draw, with the blinkers being off. You know, are they trying to kind of maybe they don't want to be as keen? I mean, as a handicapper, when you're taking a look at this, do they want him to kind of try and settle and sit in behind horses? And that's why I kind of feel like he might be a little vulnerable if he's looking for a two-turn race down the road and they're kind of seeing what's in the tank and what they have. Maybe this is one of those favorites that you try and beat, and I would try and beat that one with a selection in the Jim's Orbit. But you know, if Mr. Moneybags runs off, draws off, and does it without blinkers and wins impressively, then I think you'll see him running next in the Sunland Derby, which is what he's been quoted as saying is where they would like to go from there.
You sound like you're a pretty good handicapper.
I've handicapped a little bit. Yeah, my dad and I went to the track many a time. I grew up in Southern California, so I would sneak out to Hollywood Park pretty often. I didn't realize that you could bet at 18 until I was 20. So I found out that you could wager at 20 years old when I went to the window. I said, wait a minute, I've been able to bet for 2 years. What's going on around here? But it's been a fun experience to handicap. And it's always, you know, when you pour through the PPs and take a look at it. And it helps you as a track announcer as well, because if you can kind of handicap the race and know where they get spotted, you don't want to predict too much because there's just so many things that happen during the course of a race. But if it goes to form, that you know that Mr. Moneybag should be up on the pace, he'll be up near it. If he draws off, then it'll be an impressive win. And again, he'll move on to bigger and better.
You said that maybe you want to take a swing against him. Do you like somebody in there?
Yeah, I kind of like the 5 Mucho Dinero. You know, trainer Brett Calhoun, who just had his 3,000th victory. Side note, by the way, Carl Broberg hit his 3,000th last night as well, so congratulations to trainer Carl Broberg. But Brett Calhoun's got 3 in there. He's got the 4 Gold Buyer, the 5 Mucho Dinero, and the 6 Truly Bling. I think the 4 and the 6 are in there to apply some pressure. And I think this 3-year-old gelding, who has been running against some stakes company, seems like the type that's going to have to come from off the pace. But if you get a little pace in there, I think the 5 Mucho Dinero with that post outside of the favorite, if they kind of ding-dong it up front, could run them down through the lane, and you'll get a better price. 4-1 on the morning line, I think it'll be a touch higher because I think Mr. Moneybags will take pretty heavy action there in race 4. So I'll look for Brett Calhoun to get it done with the 5 Mucho Dinero in race 4.
All right, the boys in race 4. The ladies take the stage in race 6. The 2 Altazano, field of 8. And an even bigger morning line favorite here, Cowgirls Like Us. She tried the big girls last time in the Silver Bullet Day at the Fairgrounds. Didn't embarrass herself, beating about 11.5 lengths, but she returns to the Lone Star State. She has a couple of wins over at Rotama, a win at Remington Park in the Trapeze, and she figures to be easily prohibitive, maybe even under 1-2. That 2-5 might hold up in the 2 Altazano.
Yeah, Cowgirls Like Us, she's going to be tough. If I'm trying to beat the favorite in the Jim's Orbit, she just looks much better than the rest in here. You know, running in the Silver Bullet Day, stumbling at the break and having a bad start. She's cutting back in distance, but she has won at this 6-furlong distance before. She did that at Rotama. She got real good there for a while from August to December, where she won those 3 in a row. The other point is she's a full sister to the winner last year. The name's escaping me right now, but she's a full sister, and her full sister won this race last year for the same connection. So everything seems to line up for her in this race, tactically, where she can be spotted. She's not going to be stuck on the rail to the inside. It's just she's had better numbers, and she's had career earnings now over $150,000. The rest of this field is pretty far behind in that field as well. So she'll be a heavy favorite. I think she gets the job done. And she could represent Texas pretty well as you look at some of the stakes racing action for 3-year-old fillies across the country. And come on, we're in Houston, Texas. Cowgirls Like Us, it's tough to knock her in that spot.
Yeah, I always wondered if it was Cowgirls Like Us or Cowgirls Like Us. But now
great.
I know.
Thank you for making my job tougher tonight. I appreciate that.
Chris, thanks for some time this morning. Getting ready to wrap things up here. You can hear Chris at Sam Houston Race Park on the horn. Best of luck. Enjoy tonight. Enjoy a couple of stakes.
Hey, thank you, guys, and we'll see you guys right here at 7:15.
All right. One more break. When we come back, Jude and I will wrap this February 23rd edition of the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Power.
Taprit is still there. Master Plan is gaining. Master Plan at Taprit. Taprit still in front. Master Plan too late. Taprit will do it.
Passion.
It's Taprit. He makes another step forward on his way to Churchill. Well done, young man. We'll report home four lengths to the good.
Performance.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling turned classic winner and millionaire. Following a precocious stakes-winning two-year-old campaign, Taprit set a new stakes record in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby before capturing the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes in his three-year-old season. Among the best-bred sons of Taprit ever to enter stud, out of Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes winner and multiple Grade A Stakes producer, Appealing Zofie. Taprit, standing for $12,500 at Gainsway.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Attending this year's Kentucky Derby? Experience the true difference at the official Derby Hotel of HRRN. Say hello to a brand new hotel experience from Hilton. That's vibrant, affordable, and young at heart. It's energetic, yet relaxing and comfortable. It's completely unprecedented. It's completely true. Enjoy modern amenities and quality comfort with guest rooms featuring a 55-inch flat-screen TV and 150 channels of DirecTV, along with a free breakfast, a state-of-the-art fitness center, and more. Discover affordability without compromise at Loyal's True by Hilton.
Airdrie Stud's Summer Front is poised to skyrocket to national sire prominence with his first crop of two-year-olds in 2019. A multiple stakes winner at two, this talented son of Warfront went on to win or place in 12 graded stakes with lifetime earnings of more than $1 million. With an explosive turn of foot, Summer Front routinely recorded times of a mile and 33 in some of the best grade one mile races in the country and possesses everything it takes to be an important sire for years to come. Airdrie Stud's Summer Front. Think about it.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Foaling season is underway, and the highly anticipated first foals for Champion Classic Empire are here. Breeders are seriously impressed with the quality, size, and bone he is putting into his progeny. Early foals include a very athletic colt who is out of a half-sister to Champion Merit Beholder, as well as leading sire Into Mischief and Ashford newcomer Mendelssohn, bred by Team Valor International, and a quality first foal out of Sweet Saturday, a half-sister to Exaggerator, bred by China Horse Club International. Hurry and call the team at Coolmore to get your mare booked to Champion Class Empire before it's too late.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Welcome back. Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence. We wrap it up. Thanks to everyone for joining us this morning. Mark Otto, Jared Burdine, Eric Hamelback, my man Romero Mirage, Dean Reeves, and Chris Griffin. All of our guests will receive apparel from EmbraceTheRace.com. Embrace your passion over at EmbraceTheRace.com. Next week, Fountain of Youth. That broadcast is presented by Red Brand Fence. Next Saturday, check back at horseracingradio.net. Check the website this week. We'll be on Sirius XM 93. It'll be myself, Dr. Dan Mason, and South Florida trainer Chuck Simon. Should be a fun show, Jude.
Yeah, looking forward to it. It's going to be a great day of racing.
Yeah, and if you missed anything on the network this week, head on over in podcast form. Steady Eddie Maple joined K-Mac on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. It was Jim Scully and Ed DeRosa on the BrizNet.com call-in show. Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts. Jude and I get you ready for all the weekend action. Head on over at horseracingradio.net to listen in podcast form. Again, thanks to all our guests. Jude, great job as always. We'll talk to you Wednesday.
Yeah, sounds good. Looking forward to it.
For Jude Feld and our producer, Lee Delapina, I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Enjoy your weekend. I hope you win all of your photo finishes. Say what you got to say, Pontiff.
Good night, Barbados.